welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And tonight, Batman and more Batman. That's right, we've fallen a little behind in talking about some of the recent DC animated movies, so we're getting back on board with a Batman double feature. But first, ooh boy, do I have a game to recommend.
Okay.
The new Hitman's out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody knows it. I hope everybody's played it by now, but you haven't. If you haven't, it's fantastic. It's even better than the last Hitman, which was already perfect. And as a bonus on the PC, and I can't say if it's on non-PC because I got it on PC, but if you already own, they made a bunch of changes to the engine and how the game plays. And if you already own the previous game, on your PC, they will give you all of the content of the previous game in the new engine in the second game. So yeah, it's like you're getting both games. And they'll give you, if you don't own the previous game and you get the new game on PC, you can buy all of the levels from the previous game for a hugely discounted rate. So yeah, it's an amazing deal. If you didn't play the first one, you should, but you definitely have to play the second one. It's as good as this kind of stealth game gets. Like they've really
Are we gonna make more
job.
Fun videos? Because
they are.
I really enjoyed making those videos.
We're going to do another slasher video. Don't worry.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. No. I was like, is there gonna be a mission I can do a slasher video in? And it's like, well, I look. Oh, the last level of the game is set in a castle. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're gonna do another slasher video.
I'm really pleased with the gun crime one I did.
Yes.
Because I did time a lot of the gunshots to the music.
Yes. I threw together some simple gun crime ones, but I thought you might want to do your own take at it. And I'm going to show you the ones I did, and you can tell me what setting you want the gun crime murders to be in. And then I'll just go film a ton of footage from that.
Oh, like, just give me a whole bunch from different parts of it. It doesn't matter. I will work my magic.
Okay. I will give you all of the raw gun crime footage, and you can just go nuts with it.
All right. I need another really good piece of music.
That is the toughest part. Definitely is the toughest part.
It actually is.
No, it is. I'm not being sarcastic. Everything I say sounds sarcastic because that's the kind of person I am, but I'm not being sarcastic. It actually is. I believe that.
All right.
That still sounded sarcastic. You're right. I am terrible. All right. So anyway, but yeah, Hitman 2, it's amazing. Everybody needs to check it out.
All right.
Next up, I believe you watched a movie?
I tried to watch a movie.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
And for whatever reason, I can't remember the name. Interceptor?
That's a weird name.
Not Intruder. It's that one that's a ripoff of the other movie that's a ripoff of Escape from New York.
Oh, Space Prison?
Space Prison.
Space Jail, the ripoff of Space Jail. Yeah.
It's the ripoff of Lockout.
Yeah, Lockout, thank you. I've only ever called that movie Space Jail. So.
Anyway, it's the new one. It starts with an I.
Yeah, yeah. Interception or some ridiculous title like that.
Something like that. Anyway, I tried to watch it.
And
I think I got half an hour.
That is not good.
And I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
It's that bad?
It is so bad.
Wow.
Oh my God, is it bad?
I am very surprised. So I guess if you take out the president's daughter getting kidnapped, you don't really have much of a movie?
Let me try that again.
So I guess if you take out Guy Pearce's abs, you don't really have much of a movie.
There you go.
Is that more accurate?
Well, the thing is, Scott Adkins
he's a good actor.
For
action.
But
I think he's a good actor by the standards of action movies.
Yeah, no, he is, and he's, you know, doing the best with what he's got. Everybody is. So what they have is garbage.
Yeah.
So the space prison.
Okay.
Only has like 5 inmates.
Oh.
And these are all terrorists. And they're being held there. I guess it's kind of like a Gitmo, like a space
situation, Gitmo. Yeah.
And they're all being held there and being questioned.
Tortured
by the warden in an effort to find out who their leader is.
Oh, okay.
And Scott Adkins and this woman who's the doctor, they're being sent up there to, I guess, like assess the prison and assess the health and well-being of the prisoners or some shit.
Which, to be fair, is the exact plot of the movie Space Jail. That is the exact plot of the movie Space Jail.
And they go
She was going up there for an NGO to see the conditions of the space jail. I'm just reminding people about Maggie Grace in that movie.
And it's a regular supply run. So like the guy who pilots the shuttle, like he does this, this happens every month. He goes back and forth from this place. So they get to the space jail and then through a series of really stupid events, the prisoners get free.
Of course. There's no movie if they don't.
And that's kind of when I shut it off.
Cause their escape was that stupid?
Like this, well this is, yeah, their method of escape is stupid. The doctor character is an insult to doctors and women.
Wow.
And I guess really anyone.
Insult to the human experience,
yeah,
I think is the term we're looking for.
And like, it's kind of hard to believe that there's no contingency for should something like this happen. Because when the prisoners escape, the shuttle pilot doesn't just immediately fuck off in the shuttle and head back to Earth.
Of course he should.
But he doesn't.
Wow.
And so, and then the prisoners end up in the control room, which is next to the airlock where the shuttle is docked.
Oh, no.
And then the heroes are on the other side.
Okay.
The space station for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, why don't the prisoners just take the shuttle? But
yeah.
I guess they don't know the shuttle's there or there's some reason they can't. It's so stupid. And I couldn't take it anymore. I'm like this,
it's too dumb.
It was too dumb and it was
and
really boring.
And you have to draw a line somewhere.
And
so Scott Adkins wasn't so just awful. Kicking ass all the time the way
he doesn't
has
kick
to.
Any ass.
Really?
If he does, it happens after I turned off the movie and I wasn't willing to wait for him to kick ass.
Wow.
And that's saying a lot from a person who's sat through the entirety of some really questionable films.
Here's my question to you. Did the head criminal at least have an awesome Scottish accent the way the guy in Space Jail did?
He had an accent, but it wasn't Scottish.
No. I was hoping it was like so close to Space Jail that they could be sued right down to the bad guy's accent, but no.
He was, I think, supposed to be...
Please don't tell me he was supposed to be a Muslim space prisoner.
No.
Oh, thank God.
I mean, Eastern European isn't correct, but it's sort of like Caucasian in the sense of like from
the Caucasus.
Yeah, that part of the world. One of the stands, perhaps.
Oh, like a Kyrgyz guy.
I think. This is just me talking out my butt. I really don't know. That's just the impression I got.
Well, I would have to go and check the character's name and look into the origin of that name.
I'm
not going to do any of that, so. It's a terrible movie. Don't watch it.
Oh,
well, you
God.
Saved me from covering it for the show, so thank you. I do thank you for that. All right. I believe you have a list as well?
I have a list.
I love it when you have lists.
So... This week's list, because we're watching a bunch of Batman animated movies, is the 12 best DC animated movies of all time.
Okay, number one is descending order, I assume.
Yeah, counts
Sorry,
down.
Sorry, in ascending order.
No, it counts down.
Ascending order means counting up to one, doesn't it? Ascending order of quality, descending order of numbers. I phrased that really badly and I apologize.
Counts down.
Yeah, it counts down. It is a countdown, and number one is Mask of the Phantasm. We all know that, so let's start with number 12.
Well, first of all, I just want to point out this Screen Rant has to stop appending their lists with of all time.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
Just
Especially
don't do
since
it.
DC puts out six of these a year.
Like,
hi, you've made your list irrelevant immediately.
Exactly. So just, if you're making a list, just don't say it's of all time, because it's simply not possible.
No, that's not how time works.
Alright. Unless you have a time machine, and I'm pretty sure you don't.
If you are Doctor Who, you get to make that list of all time. That is exactly. The only character who is allowed to do that. All right, right. Hit me. Go for it.
Okay. So, this is from 2016.
Oh, okay. So, obviously Batman Ninja isn't going to be on there, which is too bad. But
number 12. There. Justice League, Crisis on Two Earths.
Oh, okay. That was a good one.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, we enjoyed that one. Oh, I like that movie.
Yeah,
totally.
Number 11, Justice League War.
Which one was just, right. Okay. Yes.
It's
that
like
was
a
cool.
New version of them coming together.
Yeah. No, we covered that one and that was pretty badass.
Yeah, it was okay.
Is
I didn't
that the one
like
I'm thinking
Wonder
of
Woman.
Where Darkseid shows up?
I think so.
Yeah,
I have a hard time remembering a lot of these.
If somebody wants to correct me on this one, I'm pretty sure that's the one where Darkseid gets stabbed in the eye with a crowbar. And that made me super happy when that happened. And I know that was everybody meets each other, so I'm pretty sure that's the one we're talking about.
Yeah, so that must be it.
Yeah.
I did not like Wonder Woman's costume.
No, it was not great.
It's not good. Okay, number 10. Ooh. Batman Assault on Arkham.
Oh, I wish this was higher.
I know, it deserves to be.
This is like...
It is so good.
Two or three... of my favorite DC animated movies.
It is absolutely one of the best ones that DC has ever made. And I will say ever. Cause I have looked into the future.
They're not going to do better than this. It's incredible from beginning to end. Also, like a masterclass on how to use Batman in a movie that isn't about Batman.
I know.
He's so amazing in this.
My God, this movie is so good. Honestly.
No, if you haven't seen Assault on Arkham, and you have seen Suicide Squad, I pity you, but rectify that. Go watch Assault on Arkham. Best Suicide Squad movie ever. One of the best DC movies ever made. It's
the only one you need, honestly. It's the only Suicide Squad movie you need, and one of the only DC animated movies you need.
Yeah, it's just incredible from beginning to end. You have to see this movie.
Yeah. All right, number 9. Dark Knight Returns, part 1.
No. What? They're not lumping them both in, or is 2 gonna be later on the list?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out, but no, come on, that was not good. It just wasn't. Like, Dark Knight Returns was important at the time, but it's not a great story. You know, it wasn't actually a great...
No, it's not great.
It's not a great story. It wasn't a great story then, but it needed to happen for comics to grow up. But it wasn't actually good.
Yeah.
And the animated version did not improve on it at all. And, oh God, it has something that really bothered me. And by the way, old Batman already had the best voice acting ever in that one episode of Batman, the animated series, where everybody is telling their own stories about Batman, and old Batman is one of them, and the voice actor was Michael Ironside. Like, that was the best voice acting ever for old Batman. And I don't remember who they got for Dark Knight Returns, but it was garbage.
Don't we tell you who it was?
Who was it?
You might change your mind, or you might I just might. Feel like a jerk.
I'm going to.
It's Peter Weller.
I do remember that. And you're right, he wasn't garbage. But no, Michael Ironside was a better choice for old Batman. I stand by my cruel insult to Peter Weller. Because the sad part is, my second part of that statement was, I actually really liked Michael Emerson's Joker.
Mm-hmm.
I did. Like, I thought his Joker was a good Joker. But then David Letterman wasn't in it, in that whole scene, and I'm like, you know what, screw you, The Dark Knight Returns. You didn't have the guts to put David Letterman in this thing? What the hell is wrong with you?
Mm.
Anyway, please continue.
Number 8, Justice League, Gods and Monsters. This one was weird.
Yeah, it was super, super weird. That's where General Zod is Superman's father, and everything is wrong, and Lex Luthor is Stephen Hawking for some reason, and
it's alienating.
It was rough to watch.
It's hard to connect with this movie because Batman's like a vampire.
Yeah, didn't make the most sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just wasn't great. All right, keep going. Yeah.
Number 7.
Flashpoint?
Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker.
That was a really good one.
I really have not seen it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not gonna spoil
it. Ask me by. No, I know what happens. It's been ruined for me.
Well, no, But I'm saying the reason it's so good is it really does feel like if you watch the unrated version, it does honestly feel like an R-rated chapter of the Paul Dini, you know, Batman the Animated Series universe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really manages to feel like an extension of that universe into an R-rated space, and I thought they did a great job of it.
Yeah.
I don't love it the way I love the animated series, but I think it was really good.
Okay. No, and I'm
going to see it at some point.
I'll see it at some point, and I'm already prepared to accept it as one of the best. So.
Okay, good. Six.
Just because I love
Flashpoint.
No. Damn Wonder it. Woman.
Which one is Wonder Woman? Have I seen
it? It's just called Wonder Woman. It's an origin story.
I didn't see this one. No. Nope.
I have not seen it.
Okay.
Because I was like reading a little bit about it. I'm like, I don't guarantee
you. Don't remember
I've not
any. Okay. So yeah. It's just, I mean, we can't weigh in because we just didn't see this one.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Number five, Justice League Doom.
Doom? Wait, which one is that?
That's what I was gonna ask.
Wait, that might be the one I was thinking about where Apocalypse gets stabbed in the eye with a crowbar. I said Apocalypse, not. Sorry, that's bad. I just said Apocalypse. That's where he lives.
Apocalypse is the planet.
I know. Darkseid lives on Apocalypse. I get it.
Here, Doom sees our heroes fall one by one due to precise and personal attacks carried out by the villainous Legion of Doom. Attacks that were originally mapped out as contingency plans by Batman.
Well, yes,
himself.
Right.
Yeah,
Batman.
I remember that.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes. That was an okay one.
It was
fine.
Pretty good.
It wasn't great, but I don't think it belongs this high in the list, especially not when Assault on Arkham is way down there. But
yeah, exactly.
No, that was a fine one. There was nothing wrong with that one.
Yeah. Okay, number four, Flashpoint Paradox.
Ah, we knew it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's that high, but Flashpoint Paradox was pretty awesome.
It is a good movie.
Assault on Arkham. Yeah. Of course not, but it's a cool movie though.
Yeah.
It's very good. It's very creepy. There's a lot of stuff where you're like, I don't understand why that would affect where Superman landed. I don't understand why the Flash's mother being alive would affect where Superman landed 10 years early before that happened.
It doesn't matter.
It was still awesome. I know the nerd that needs explanations in me was always bothered by that point, but it's Flashpoint Paradox is really good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now ready for number three?
Of course.
The Dark Knight Returns part two.
Screw you though.
I know.
Screw you though.
Right?
Let's keep going.
Bullshit.
No, it's crazy.
Number two. Batman, Mask of the Phantasm.
No, this is number one. I don't care what's next on the list. The next on the list one doesn't exist. Batman, Mask of the Phantasm is the best thing they've ever done in anything. Like, in anything. Live action, animated, whatever. The single best thing DC has ever made is Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. And don't say, oh, you're just nostalgic because you saw it when you were a kid in theaters. Which I did. Empty theater, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday. Like, I want to point out, this is a movie that was so good that the head of Warner Brothers saw a screening of the movie and was like, why is this not going to theaters?
Yeah.
That's the story of how it got in theaters. It's like, yep. It was supposed to be direct to video.
Same story.
He saw it and he's like, nope, we're putting this in theaters. We're not advertising at all and we're going to let it die on the vine. But it is going to theaters.
Yeah. So it happened with Toy Story 2. That was supposed to be direct-to-video.
Really? And they saw it and they were like,
and they
nope,
saw it, they're like, no, this has to go to theaters.
Well, it has to. But I'm sorry. In the history of, and this is why Batman the Animated Series is like the definitive Batman in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Because what other Batman series has had the guts to give him a moment of doubt?
Yeah.
To have that scene where he just wants to get engaged and run a company and have a life.
Yeah.
And he goes to his parents' grave and it's like, I made a promise when I was 8.
Emotional breakdown.
You can't expect me to live up to a promise I made when I was 8. And just have Batman say that it just doesn't hurt that bad anymore.
Yeah.
I can have a real life.
But Batman himself. Like, but Bruce Wayne has got some deep psychological problems that he refuses to treat.
I know.
And argues with his dead parents about being Batman and loses. He loses the argument.
He does not lose that argument. She leaves him. His would-be fiance does leave him, and that tips it in his parents' order. He does not lose the argument with a tombstone.
He's arguing with himself.
I know.
And he loses.
He does, well, eventually, but in that most beautiful scene in Batman mythology, he does not lose the argument with a tombstone. But no, I'm sorry, I don't care what's next. It can't be better than what we've just been talking.
I'm gonna tell you.
Go.
It's Batman under the Red Hood.
No!
I liked that one.
We both liked that one.
That was a violent movie.
It was an incredible, there's a bag of severed heads in that movie.
It was so violent.
There is a literal, this is not hyperbole. There is a literal bag of severed heads in that movie.
And I was 100% right when I said that they made this movie to lay the groundwork for Killing Joke, which turned out to be not great, but still, Red Hood pushed the boundary.
To let them do that.
Like,
and that
really
was
pushed the envelope.
You're right. You're totally right. And then Killing Joke was pure unadulterated trash.
It's unfortunate because they really squandered that opportunity, but.
Yeah. Oh, God. Sorry. Now I'm just thinking about what trash the Killing Joke was. But anyway, it was nice that they both came back. Like, that was nice.
Yeah.
But it was in service of trash.
Wasn't a good movie. Anyway. Okay. So I previewed a bunch of these, lists.
Yeah.
In order to decide which one we were going to use. And I will tell you this.
Of the other ones, Batman Mask of the Phantasm is number one?
No, actually.
Oh.
But this is the only list which had Assault on Arkham.
Okay, well, I can't believe I'm about to defend Screen Rant, given the amount of times they've screwed us over with lists. But I doff my cap to you, Screen Rant. Yeah. You guys were smart enough to put Assault on Arkham, the best non-Mask of the Phantasm Batman movie, circa 2016, on that list. Cause how could nobody else have that on the list?
Right?
That's crazy. That is madness.
I know, it doesn't make sense. Also, everyone else condenses, Dark Knight Returns.
Which you really should have? Like, yeah. It's kind
They're
of
just
silly
cheating. Screen Rant cheated with that one.
Yeah, well, Screen Rant is terrible in a lot of
ways. They are bad at lists.
They've always been famously bad at lists. But at least they had Assault on Arkham, even if it wasn't in his rightful position. Oh my God. That scene where the cagey beast is like, you didn't put bombs in our necks. And he's like, and she's like, you're free to go. He walks out and his head explodes.
So it's like, oh God.
It's so beautiful.
Oh my God, there are bombs.
Oh God, that great moment where they're like, all right, we've burned out everybody's bombs. Oh, King Shark, it seems like your neck is too thick to deactivate the bomb. Like, oh well. And then King Shark's head explodes.
What are you gonna do?
Well, you know, we had a good plan, but you're a monstrous mutant shark man, so.
That's on you.
That one's on you, buddy. Oh, such a good movie.
I know.
And again, in the history of stories about the Harley Quinn and the Joker, it's probably the truest one about their relationship ever.
It is, because their relationship, for whatever reason, people seem to have a hard time pinning down their relationship.
They want to think there's something romantic about it. They
even
do.
Even though, like, there really isn't.
Paul Dini has been open about the fact that that is a misreading of their relationship. No,
it is a one-way street. Yep. She loves him. He's convenient for her.
Yes. No.
That's it. There's nothing more there. There's nothing
She's
else.
She's convenient for him.
Yeah.
She loves him. Yeah. She loves him. She is just a convenience to him. Yes. Hmm. Yeah. And that is their relationship. That is definitively what their relationship is. And it's frigging toxic and it's killing her.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing.
And if you don't even need to be a good writer. If you just understand that much about their relationship,
yeah,
whatever you come up with out of that is going to be really compelling.
And that's why there are legit powerful scenes in Assault on Arkham that the movie Suicide Squad was completely lacking.
Yeah, but everybody else just, like, for whatever reason wants to turn it into some kind of, like, weird tragic love story.
I know, and I'm like, nope, including the, like, the best thing I've ever seen. The moment in Suicide Squad where she fantasizes that she's a suburban housewife married to Paul Allen from American Psycho.
Yeah.
Like, what is that scene? That is not who Harley Quinn is.
Yeah, I mean, the woman, like, later on, I won't say later incarnations, I guess later on in her development, she sort of takes on this very rich, characterization.
Which and is, internal life.
And internal life, which is actually what I was going to say initially.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. And that's fine that the character develops over time, but, like, specifically Harley Quinn and the Joker have this, this particular dynamic.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. It is what it is, as we said earlier. And there's nothing else going on. And Assault on Arkham really captures that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, in a really upsetting way.
It's hard to watch those scenes. It really is.
Yeah.
We can't say enough good things about Assault on Arkham. And once again, we're going to encourage you to go watch it and then listen after you've done that. After, listen to our episode about it. But don't listen to our episode first. Don't think you can just get by listening to our episode.
No, you got it. It's worth watching. You have to experience the movie first and then...
Also, can I just say, I think Matthew Gray Goobler is my second favorite Riddler after John Glover.
Yeah, he does a good job.
He's really good as the Riddler in that movie too.
Yeah,
it's not a big part, but he's very entertaining because... Yeah. His Riddler is such a dick, which the Riddler really needs to be.
Yeah.
He's so smug and he's so pleased with himself. I love that about it because he's been playing that for years on Criminal Minds, but like,
self-satisfied dick. Oh, no,
he is.
He isn't a dick.
No, no,
he is. He's a pushover.
He's a dick, but he is also, it's fascinating because he's such a dick, but he's also filled with crippling self-doubt. And his Riddler is Reed without the crippling self-doubt.
Oh, I don't see his character as a dick.
As someone who is currently rewatching the show for a podcast, he loves to show off all
the time.
That
doesn't make him a dick.
It's kind of dickish.
He's insecure about his intellectual superiority.
Okay, that is, I will meet you at that middle ground.
Which is weird. He has no reason to feel that way.
Yeah. Well, he had a terrible mother is the answer to that story. That
She's
little mystery.
Schizophrenic, so.
Yeah. And, no, I'm not saying like there's not a reason she was a terrible mother.
I love Reed. I love the character. I love
Matt Goobler, obviously.
But I hate what they do to him because they just determined to make him suffer.
Over and over again.
All the time.
He's like, his life is misery.
What was I doing? I think I was like burning through a season that I had seen previously. And when it was like a Reed heavy episode about his personal shit, I'm like, nope, not watching that one. Like, I don't care to know these things.
Well, again, I pre-recorded the whole first season of the podcast, right? So we can just have all of the episodes go up for the whole first season of Criminal Minds. With no interruptions. And so I just recently rewatched, the Fisher King, which is the first season ender, right? The part one of the Fisher King. And it's interesting because it starts with them all having a weekend off. And it's like, and every single character is like just off having a good time, doing things they like, living their best lives. And Reed is like visiting his mother in a mental institution, but can't get up the nerve to actually talk to her and just wallowing in self-pity.
Oh,
I'm like, oh God, you,
for that shit.
You poor kid. What the hell are you doing? All right. Hey, speaking of Criminal Minds, that exists kind of in the horror genre.
Oh, Nice.
Worst segue I've ever done. No. Tell us about an upcoming horror movie.
That is not the worst. So.
You're right, I've done way worse than that. Not good at segues.
This week's upcoming horror movie is called Ravers.
Oof. I'm already off board.
Ravers follow an illegal nighttime rave in a factory where contaminated energy drinks cause a worker to go fatally berserk.
Oh no.
As a forgotten batch of the drink is found and consumed by drunken ravers, a truly terrifying physical transformation takes over, and those unaffected try to escape in panic. Becky, a germophobic journalist, reluctantly there to cover the event, is trapped among the increasingly hostile crowd of dancers, and to save herself and her friends, she has to overcome her deepest phobias to help them get out alive.
So she has to crawl through a sewer pipe.
I guess so.
I mean, that's just based on the germaphobe setup, it seems like she's going to have to crawl through a sewer pipe at some point in this
movie. Yeah, something like that.
And just logically.
I just feel like it's 20 years too late for the
rave culture movie and energy drink movie.
And about 7 years too late for the fun, quirky zombie movie.
Yeah, those guys are really botching this one. But you know what? Maybe it's been sitting on a shelf for, what's halfway between there? 7 and 13 years. 13 and 1/2 years.
So, yeah.
No, you're right. It is. It is a little outdated. But hey, maybe it's good. We're not going to watch it, but we will look for reviews.
Not even. We're not even going to.
No, we're going to forget this movie happened.
No, and then I'm going to get a screener. All right, this thing.
All right, that sounds great. It's about raves. The super relevant topic of today.
God.
All right, now we're just being mean. All right, let's move on to stuff we actually did watch.
Yes, let's do.
All right, go.
Okay, so as mentioned, we watched a couple of Batman animated features. Our first movie tonight is Batman Bad Blood. Is that right? Is it called Bad Blood?
It is called Bad Blood.
Okay.
No, dead on.
After Batman is presumed dead, his allies work together to seek out the Black Mask and get justice for their fallen hero.
Ooh.
So and, here's my note. Oh, my note about this movie.
I love notes. Go.
Batman is a patronizing asshole.
That's true. That
he
is famously
such
true.
A jerk in this movie.
Yep.
Because Batwoman shows up and he's like, I don't need your help.
How dare you pretend to be a bat?
And she's like, excuse me, ass. Pardon me, dick.
I'm here. I'm doing kung fu. I'm shooting people. I didn't ask your permission and I don't need your permission.
Oh my God. He's such an asshole.
I know. He really is.
And I feel like this, like, the past two movies we watched, he's just become more and more of a jerk.
So here's the crazy thing when I was watching this. I did not realize until I was watching this movie that, like, there is a full continuity of these Batman movies, that they all take place in the, because we watched so many one-shot Batman movies. I didn't realize these ones are all taking place to the same characters in the same continuity.
I have a really hard time keeping track of this shit. I realize each one is in the continuity because this comes after Batman and Son.
Yes. And I guess there was another one before Batman and Son that we also
Damien is in it, and we hate Damien.
Damien remains the worst.
He really is the worst. Oh, God.
Yeah, because first there was the one where Thomas Gibson was Deathstroke.
Which one was that?
It was the one before the one. No, that was Batman and Son. No. Whatever that one was called. Cause there was that one.
I will only
remember it as the one where Thomas Gibson was Deathstroke. Cause what I love Thomas Gibson. And that was a tragic miscasting.
Oh God. What happened in the movie though? I don't remember.
That's just where Batman finds out he has a son. Remember? Like Deathstroke decides to-
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's Batman and Son.
Okay.
Cause then there's the second one with Talon. And the Parliament of Owls.
Yes, that was the Batman and Son?
They are two different movies.
Oh my god.
There's the one with Deathstroke and then there's the one with Talon. I know, it feels like they're the same movie. But they're, cause they're both about Batman and Damian getting to know each other.
I honestly only remember them as one movie.
And I get that. I get why you would, but they're not just one movie.
Oh Jesus. But to be fair, I actually don't remember Deathstroke. I just remember Talon.
Okay, and that's fine, but do you remember the one with Deathstroke, and then at the start, like, Giancarlo Esposito is Ra's al Ghul, and then Deathstroke shows up with a bunch of ninjas and kills all of the League of Assassins guys, and that's why Damian has to run and hide out with his dad, and Batman didn't know Damian existed until then, all of that? That ringing a bell?
That was all with the owls shit.
Nope. Owls was a completely different movie.
I do. No. I'm going to just say no. I don't. Let's.
All right. Let's move on. But I'm a little amazed. Anything. But yeah, this is at least the third one of these.
Oh, man.
I know, right?
Anyway.
Anyway. Yes. So the point is, it opens. There's a new Ubu who's calling himself Heretic, I think. And
it doesn't really matter. All you need to know is that there's this, organization called the Black Mask. There's also a guy called the Black Mask.
Yeah.
And they're like the new it criminal element in Gotham.
Yeah.
And so the movie opens with a fight between Batman and this Black Mask figure. There's a big explosion where Batman saves Batwoman, and then he presumably kind of dies in this explosion because we don't see from him, hear from him for a while. We find out that he, in fact, did survive the explosion. Then he's kidnapped. Well, I guess we're just going to ruin the movie now.
No, we kind of have to. Because like, you can't talk about anything after the first 20 minutes.
So if you want to watch Bad Blood, just pause it here and we'll see you back later.
I mean, it's fine. It moves the plot line of this series forward. But, you know, it's nothing special.
So he's kidnapped by Talia, who is, I guess, trying to plumb his subconscious.
Yeah.
For, I don't know, juicy...
No, just trying to brainwash him.
Just trying to brainwash him. Yeah, that's the brainwash because she cloned Damian.
Yeah. To date a new,
this is so weird. She cloned
Damian. She needed a new Ubu. Yeah. And so she could, she needed a new Ubu who is the guardian of the series. And so she cloned her own son and accelerated his growth because she realized A, she didn't want to wait around for him to grow up, and B, he's kind of a jerk and is not going to grow up into be the obedient warrior she needs him to be.
So just, she made like, a clone. Basically creates her own, super soldier.
A perfect version of Damian. Yeah. For her purposes.
Yes. And then there's this weird scene where I guess they capture not the UN, but essentially the UN.
Yeah. I mean, they call it something else, but it's basically the UN.
The UN. I'm not really sure to what end. I might have nodded off.
You don't know why? Okay. I'm gonna explain the plot of this movie. So, Batman.
Oh, nice for a minute.
Batman. Bruce Wayne is doing, you know, a global let's fix the environment thing.
Oh yes.
And he's got all of the world.
Okay.
He's got all of the world there. Yes, the world leaders there to deal with it, to do that. And so she's going to get them all in one place for Bruce Wayne's thing and then brainwash all of them at once so she can take over the world and do whatever she wants with them. And the weird part is, they actually point out in the film that she doesn't have a specific plan after taking over the brains of all the world leaders. She just wants to have taken over the brains of all the world leaders.
Well, this is something I was going to bring up in the next movie.
Yeah.
This whole goal of world domination, or even just, I suppose, country domination.
Yeah, like, what then? What is your goal? What is your ideology?
So, you're in charge now.
Yeah.
Okay, what happens next?
I just remember a sketch I wrote, you know, 20 years ago, where an alien has conquered the Earth. And they're like, okay, what are you gonna do? So, alright, you win. You've destroyed all of our armies. You run the Earth. What do you want now? What I want is for you to do things pretty much like you've been doing them They're just like, build a lot of gold statues of me. I do not care about the day-to-day operations of your planet. It's just if anybody asks if I control this planet, say yes and point to the gold statue of me in every city.
Well, I had this conversation with a friend of mine, and it was some serious, I guess like Dr. Doom or someone ends up taking over the world, like accomplishes his goal of world domination. Good for him.
That might be Doom 2099, but whatever.
Maybe, I don't remember. And he said, he's like, it's actually really interesting because like he achieves world domination and like kind of like, I guess sort of remakes the world.
In his image, yeah.
In his image and institutes all of his policies. And so the world actually is like, in fact, a better place with him in charge. And he's just like kind of bored with it after a while. It's like, well, I've accomplished all my goals. Now what do I do?
Yeah.
And it's like,
What do you do when your real life exceeds your dream?
Yeah. So I'm like, it's a nice goal to have, but it shouldn't be your end goal. Like there's gotta be more.
Yeah, you have to be doing it in service of something.
I feel like all of these villains who just want to control the world or control a country or what have you.
Yeah.
I feel like they don't actually believe it's an achievable goal. No. It's just like a reason to get up in the morning.
Yeah.
But they know they'll be defeated.
Exactly.
Like and they kind of expect it because if they aren't, it's like, well shit, now I gotta run this country or run this world.
The true story of how Thanos is beaten in the story of the Infinity Gauntlet is, someone says to him, have you ever noticed that you have a lot of great plans, you're an unbelievably powerful, and you keep losing? And he's like, yeah. And they're like, why do you think that is, Thanos? You realize fundamentally that you don't have good ideas and you shouldn't be in charge, but you can't admit that to yourself? And he's like, I've got a lot to think about. And he just puts the universe back. That's the actual end of the story, the Infinity Gauntlet, that the big crossover is based on.
Oh man, that is not gonna make for good watching. That is
probably not how it's actually going to end.
Not cinematic. No.
But anyway, so yeah, that's, cause I don't know what Talia is for. That's the thing. Like I honestly, I have no idea what her character
I didn't realize
wants.
Talia, I mean, granted, I don't know a lot about Talia and in Taz and then Batman Beyond, like in Taz, she wasn't really an agent of evil, and in Batman Beyond, she kind of was.
Ish. But what happened was after the Black Hand storyline, Grant Morrison's Black Hand storyline, they have her show up, and in order to create conflict with the whole, Damian Wayne stuff, they need her to just be full on evil from now on. So they got rid of Ra's al Ghul and now she's just full on evil. And of course, she's a little more complicated in that she thinks she should be in charge and blah, 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 blah. But there are layers to her evil that don't exist in this movie. But yeah, like she didn't used to just be evil. She used to be a conflicted character. And now ever since Damian Wayne showed up to create drama in that relationship, they just need her to be evil. Because you see, it used to be she was on the fence, but her dad was evil and her boyfriend wasn't, so that created conflict.
Yeah.
But now, and I'm not saying this is kind of terrible, but that a woman stops being a complicated character once she's a mother, because I'm not saying that, I'm saying that's what they've done. Basically, now that Damien's around, he's taking on the role Talia used to have, in that he's got an evil mother. Right, and a good father, or at least a wants to be good father. We can talk about Batman's morality later, but, right, like, a moral-ish father and an evil mother, and so it's all that conflict. So basically, they've replaced all of the character traits of Talia and dropped them into Damian. And so, it's flattened out Talia, sadly.
I think
there's quite an extent.
There's a real missed opportunity there, because if you want to make her evil, that's fine. But she can still have, she doesn't even need to have a, like some kind of internal conflict going on, but cause she's got this kid who I guess is supposed to represent, I guess her good side or what have you. And she's like, her father, her now dead father is her evil side. I feel like there was a missed opportunity between like a confrontation with Talia and Damien where she can just tell him that, like, you know what? I made Black Mask because you're a real disappointment. I'm like, that is devastating. Even though Damien's like a complete asshole.
He is. That's and always will be. Deep. It is. See, what's happened here is, and this is a problem.
Criticism from their mother.
See, the problem here is you have conflated the character of Heretic with the character Black Mask because Heretic does in fact wear a black mask. So I assume what's happened here.
In the credits, he is called Black Mask.
No, Black Mask is also in the film. That's the problem. Black Mask is also in the film. The character Black Mask is the guy who's doing the gun deal at the start of the movie. He wears a white suit and has a face that's a black mask. You've conflated the character. Why is she saying Black Mask over and over again?
Are you sure? Because I'm
100% sure. And I didn't fall asleep during the movie.
But I stayed up for the credits.
No, but that's my point.
Black Mask is billed higher than Heretic.
Because he appeared first. It's order of appearance.
No, it's not.
It doesn't, okay, maybe it's because the actor who played him is more famous. I don't know. But the point is, the character Black Mask is in the movie, but Heretic is the clone.
Whatever, the point is...
No, I'm just saying, like, if in case someone listening to this is confused, I have just cleared that up.
Well, okay, fine, great. Thank you for your service. The point I'm making is that there is a missed opportunity between Damien and Talia.
Also, I gotta say, they do a lot of good stuff with Batwoman in this. I really enjoyed Batwoman. They do her backstory quickly. I'm
like, you should start reading Batwoman.
I know, right? Like, it's a lot of fun. I'm kind of interested to watch her TV show next year. Like,
yeah,
that could be interesting. But wow, does Batwing like just show up abruptly and get no development at all?
I have a hard time keeping these. Who? All right, okay,
it's Lucius Fox's son. Yeah,
got it. Yes, took me a minute, but I got there.
This thing, I'm like, this movie is already overstuffed without you jamming Batwing in there.
Also, really uninspired name.
Yeah, that was not a good name.
Not the name.
That's what he calls his plane. Are you gonna have another guy who calls himself Batcycle?
Like, Batmobile.
A guy named Batmobile?
Bat in front of everything. Oh, I'm Bat Dave.
Although, to be fair, I do want to see the adventures of Bat Dave.
Of course you do. It's like I went to the space store and I got some space milk.
You want me to, I can send it down to the space store. We're out of space, you want some space coffee, some space tea? We're out of space sugar, but I can send her down to the space store and pick some up.
It's the same thing. That's where we're headed.
It really is. All right. But yeah, here's the thing. I think, the fact that you largely nodded off,
largely, just for a tiny minute.
Okay.
Forgot about most of the movie. I guess because at the end of the day, I liked Batwoman, but
Batwoman's great in this.
The rest of the movie was just kind of like
flat.
Flat. Like, I mean, the Nightwing stuff was also kind of interesting because
because he's dealing with if I have to become Batman.
Exactly.
Like it's a real issue for him, like because he's always kind of known. He spent his whole life not wanting to just be Batman, but he's always in the back of his head known that if Bruce does die one day, he's probably got to take over being Batman.
But I also like that everybody knows that it's him.
Right away.
Right away.
Yeah. Of course.
So that was nice. That was good.
It was nice.
But so like in terms of like the interpersonal stuff.
Yeah, there's some good writing in there.
There's some good writing, but also some missed opportunities. But on the whole, Batman struck me as being such a jerk.
He really is.
I was really way more invested in Batwoman and Nightwing.
And her journey, yeah.
Than anybody else in this story.
Totally. And they both do good jobs and it's interesting and I'd like to see. The weird part is, if they wanted to just start doing this as a 13 episode series on Netflix or whatever, and like once every couple of years we get this continuity as an ongoing Batman the Animated Series type series, rather than just doing one movie every 18 months, I think I'd be down for that, because I generally like the writing, the production quality's good, you know? I mean, and I think if they had more space to do the character stuff, it would be more satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I just want to say, as always, pretty good action. Just really, you know,
yeah,
very well-staged action.
No, absolutely. Like, no criticisms or complaints about any of that stuff. It really just is, for me, a lot of the interpersonal stuff. And then just Batman's characterization is just a kind of just...
He's so terrible.
He's just a jerk all day. And then at the end of the movie where it's like, well, he's having a private moment with Damian because Talia dies.
Maybe.
And maybe, whatever. The point is, Damian thinks his mother is dead. And so now Bruce has to have, you know, this important
father-son moment. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, but we don't get to hear any of that. That's just nope. All.
We just Alfred's cut back over
telling
to
us what's going on.
I know. Like, let's on. Cut away from that. Oh, we got a little more Batwoman and Dick Grayson. It's fine.
Yeah. And then, and Damian also, like, he's still the same dick. I mean, he's following right in his father's footsteps. He's the same unlikable kid he was in Son of Batman.
For the past two movies.
Yeah.
Again, it's two movies. You keep forgetting it's two different movies.
You know what I mean.
I do. I'm sorry.
He hasn't changed at all. And I'm like,
no, he really hasn't grown.
He needs to, his journey needs to start. It should have started already, but he really needs to start seeing a bit of a change in him, because he's...
Well, honestly, after, you'd think he would have developed a lot after his experiences with Jeremy Sisto Talon.
Well, maybe he has, but he's developed into an asshole, so...
Well, no, but the asshole he's developed into has not changed at all from the previous film, so there you go.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to our second movie this week, which, the reason I kept saying 2016 for the list of best Batman movie is, I'm going to put this in the top five. I'm just saying it right now before we even start.
Okay, alright.
And that is solely because this is the craziest thing I've seen in years.
Well, we'll get there. Okay. So our second movie tonight is Batman Ninja. When Grodd's time, I said Gord, when Grodd's time machine goes off, a collection of heroes and villains are transported to feudal Japan. Arriving 2 months later than everybody else, Batman learns
the villain- 2 years later.
Was it 2 years?
It's 2 years later.
Oh shit, alright, arriving 2 years later than everyone else, Batman learns the villains are at war for control of Japan, and that he is the prophesized hero who will bring peace to the land.
Aww.
My note about this movie?
Yeah.
Weird.
It's so weird!
You see a weird movie.
It's so strange. It's
very hard, to the point where it's almost, what am I trying to say here? Almost too weird.
Almost completely inaccessible because it is so self-consciously strange.
It is. So it takes a while to kind of like get into the groove, like to accept the film for what it is. But I think that's also because the movie takes so well accepting it. For what it is.
Okay, I see that.
And then there are moments where I'm like, this is happening too slow.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just because, and it's an anime.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, it doesn't have quite the same, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know how to phrase what I'm trying to say. It's not quite as dynamic as a lot of anime, so they're seen, like, when they're introducing all of the bad guys as, well, they're not what's the word? They're not shoguns.
Daimyo or lord or whatever you want to call it.
Daimyo, yeah. Lord of all these, like, different regions in Japan. That should be happening much more quickly than it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, the pacing is wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's weird. It's just
especially because they all get basically video game villain introductions,
right? Which is fine.
Like, you should be snappily zipping through this,
exactly. And it's just it's happening too slowly.
Yeah, so I think this movie weirdly
stuff like that, and then the music is mixed too low.
I didn't really notice that.
Oh, I noticed. The music is too quiet.
Okay.
Which is also a problem for the movie. Because again, like, if the music were louder and, more at the front.
Yeah.
Then it would really, it would, just elevate the action that much more. Because there's a lot of action in this movie and it's all really good and kind of weird. So if the music were brought up and forefronted in the same way that the action is, it would play much differently.
That's true. I just want to say that I was so blown away by, I can't overstate how crazy this movie is.
It's insane.
It's so nuts.
It's so,
like he jumps back and the first thing that happens to him when he arrives in Japan is samurai with Joker masks show up.
Attack him. And I love the scene where he's like, all right, time to peace out. And he's like looking for a tall building.
There's a whole army of them. Grappling hook, looks for a tall building. Oh, right.
Right.
Japan. I better just run.
Shit. That was
run
hilarious.
Down an alley in broad daylight.
That was very well done.
It was hilarious.
And the movie, I think, needed a few more moments like that.
Jokes like that.
As much as I loved Monkey G. Oh my god, I love Monkey G.
Monkey G is so good.
So cute.
And that's the thing. It's like, well, the weird thing about this movie is, to a certain extent, it's like, so it's made by an entirely Japanese staff. Right? So it's, yeah, like it's written, directed by an actual Japanese studio.
It's an anime. As I said, it's an anime.
It is an anime. Like, it is an authentic anime. It's not like an American studio doing stuff in a Japanese style.
Made for a Western audience.
Exactly. And so it's almost like they're like, let's throw every cliche we can think of. And that is why it has such strange tonal shifts, because they're like, we want to put in every cliche and every visual anime is famous for, so let's do a little bit of the mech anime, and let's do the awesome samurai anime where there's a sword fight on top of a burning building, and let's do a sequence where we do watercolor, super intense drama, and let's do a kid cartoon by having a cute monkey. Like, they just cram it all into one thing.
They cram it all there, and it's just, it, but at the same time, you said it's still really, it doesn't quite work because they feel the need to explain some of the stuff. Like, they felt, it's like, well, here's Monkey G, and he's an adorable little monkey that Robin can talk to. And they understand each other perfectly. And it's like, you don't need to explain that to us because now you're turning it into a joke.
No. Like, that should just be a thing that's happening.
That's just a thing that's happened.
Because this is an anime. Because
it's an anime, we don't have to explain it to us. We'll either accept it or we won't. Don't tell us to accept it.
That's true. That does hurt it a little. But it's not it's not a big part of it. And Monkey G.
Watching this movie will already be familiar with anime because...
It's Batman Ninja. Yeah.
It's Batman Ninja.
They know what they're getting in. They know what they're in for. But what I especially loved was... When Monkey G's girlfriend shows up. And it's like, the clear implication that this is part of an ongoing storyline.
This is some other thing.
This is some other thing that's happening and we just suddenly were being introduced to it.
Oh, Monkey G is so cute.
So unbelievably cute.
Yeah. Oh my god. Easily one of the best parts of this movie.
It's a good movie anyway, but that monkey stuff was just amazing.
I'm not really sure what Deathstroke was doing there. He had nothing to contribute to this movie.
He's basically not in the movie.
He's only there so that they can Voltron up.
Yeah.
At the end of the film.
Honestly, but that, you can say that about, you can say that about the Penguin and Poison Ivy as well.
But they still had more of a presence than Deathstroke.
They did. Well, and the weird part was...
And Penguin is barely in this movie, so...
Well, no, and I think part of that is because with Penguin and Poison Ivy, it's actually easy to see, like, how you can theme an interesting castle around them, right? But what on earth do you do with Deathstroke? How do you theme a castle around that guy? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, they've got
they don't really do a good job of
or Vishnu. I don't remember.
Yeah, like no, that's one. Two Faces is the Shiva one because
right.
he's got
you're
two
right.
faces.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and Two Faces there, and of course Two Face always makes sense to put in a thing like that. And he is a vassal of the Joker. We are introduced.
Yes. Yes. So at least but, you know.
You understand why he's there and he serves an interesting purpose. But I just want to say I really liked how much it jumps forward in plot stuff. Like this thing, first off, they jump 2 years, Batman gets there 2 years after everybody else. So everyone has had the time to make mech castles.
Yes. Not sure where the technology comes from.
It explicitly comes from Gorilla Grodd.
From Grodd, but at the same time, it's like, yes, I understand that you're a super intelligent ape, but you still need to be able to
build
get the metal, manufacture the metal.
Yeah.
They have machine guns.
Oh, that beautiful, but the beautiful moment when the monkeys are destroying the various mechs, and we see inside that the mechs are operated by like ropes run on wooden pulleys.
But it's made of metal.
But it's all made of metal.
Why is it? I don't understand.
Why are there ropes and wooden pulleys there? Because it's hard to make that much metal. So as a consequence, a huge amount of the substructure of those things is just wooden rope. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, wait, that doesn't make sense. And I'm like, you're right. It doesn't.
But it doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter. You're just supposed to enjoy the ride. And
transform and roll out.
And it is easy to enjoy the ride here. Like, it's super crazy, and you just carry it along by the wave of craziness. Now, you're right to say that if it was a little faster, if it was a little speedier, it would be easier to get picked up and carried along. But I so respected the audacity of just how uncompromisingly nuts it was, and how it was willing to just have nothing really make sense, and just go for it.
But the weird part of all this, though, so like, everyone in the film is, I guess, like, on board with the audacity, let's call it.
Yeah.
With the exception of Batman.
Yes.
And I think it's a problem for the movie. And if they were able to turn that into a joke, like what they did unwittingly with Monkey G, if Batman somehow understands that he's in an anime but is apart from it.
Yeah.
Then you can work with that.
That would have worked better. You're
but
right.
But it doesn't, the movie doesn't, it's not written like that. That's not part of the
that
story that's being told here. So I think it is a little bit of a problem for the movie.
Well, especially
also,
because,
who
especially
is
because
Red
there's
Robin?
A
I have no idea who
that I'll explain that to you in a second. No, I think the problem with Batman is, like, Batman doesn't have that outsider's look and doesn't go through a change. Like, cause they want to do this thing where they say, he has to learn how to be a ninja, and he has to learn how to be part of this
and
world.
And he doesn't have a problem with any of that.
But realistically, he just changes the technology he uses and puts on a different set of armor.
And that's
like,
it.
He doesn't have to change his mindset at all.
No, nothing at all. It's like, who am... Because, yeah, he has this technology story. He's like, who am I? I got lost in the technology.
You
like,
didn't, though. You're the exact same character.
No,
you're just, always a ninja.
Nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. You're supposed to be, like, you know, the great detective or what have you. Like, it just...
Yeah, no, yeah. They needed Batman to go through more for that part of the movie to work. You're absolutely right. Like, I agree with you on that one 100%. But Red Robin is Tim Drake. Okay? It's confusing. So there's Dick Grayson, who's original Robin.
Okay, he's
there's
Nightwing.
Jason Todd, who's Red
Jason
Hood.
Jason Todd is Red Hood. Tim
Third
Drake.
Jason is Tim Drake, who's Red Robin. And Damian Wayne is Robin.
He's Robin. So, but...
Yeah.
I thought Tim Drake was killed off.
No, it's Jason Todd who got killed off.
No, but there was a Robin that everybody hated and they killed him, and
that's
it wasn't
Jason Todd. You're talking about Jason Todd.
Are you really? Am I?
Yes. They had, of course I know. He's the guy they had a phone-in thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. So it was
Jason
Todd.
That's Jason Todd.
Oh.
That's why it's such a big deal that he got brought back as the Red Hood.
Okay. I guess I just sort of Tim Drake just aged out of Robin. I'm like, whatever. Like, it just sort of like,
it's
I never
true.
Really spent a lot of time thinking about what happened to him. But he's Red Robin. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So all now, right. Do you got that?
I got it. It's fine. Yes.
Yeah, because they needed a new Robin position. Because the thing is, he couldn't go off and become like Nightwing. He's not going to become Nightwing 2 because there's still a Nightwing.
Still a Nightwing running around. Yeah,
so he needed his own persona, but they didn't want to come up with one, so he just calls himself Red Robin.
Lazy. Fucking lazy.
It is pretty lazy. Like, Nightwing's this whole different persona. He's just like, he's doing this, and the crazy part is, right, the whole, originally Robin, not bird-themed, Robin Hood-themed. And people conflated bird, bat later on, and people got confused, right? And what's interesting is, they tried to bring him back to be Robin Hood-themed by making Tim Drake's thing that he used a quarterstaff.
Mm-hmm.
So they tried to bring back the Robin Hood theme when they introduced Tim Drake, right? And the thing that was kind of fun about that is then when they gave him his own persona, instead of going all the way with the Robin Hood quarterstaff, maybe make him the monk, who knows? Instead, they doubled down on the bird stuff, which is the opposite of what they were originally trying to do with the character. So yeah, it's okay that you're confused by Red Robin. He's not fantastic.
Whatever. I was just, okay. I'm satisfied. No, I got an
it's
answer.
It's understandable that you would be confused by
what it. I really want to talk about, there are two things I want to address.
Okay, please.
Thing number one, the interlude, I'll call it, with, I guess, Red Hood and Joker. Where it's a completely different style of animation.
Yes.
Did not care for it.
It's going into his famous... See, I thought that was really interesting.
Oh,
when they went into the super dramatic watercolor anime scene.
Yeah. I don't like that style of anime. I just don't like the art. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't really care for that. I mean, it's interesting. Like, that's a good moment in the story. But I just didn't like the animation.
Okay. Whereas again, I liked that they were going into a different type of anime for this, like, for the super dramatic, the super emotional, the super intense. They went into the weird watercolor woodcut looking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that choice, but I understand why, like, dramatically the scene works, whether you like the animation or not, but you wanted it to be more in tune with how the rest of the film looked.
Yeah, I just thought it took me out of the movie.
It's yeah.
Like entirely, I'm like, whoa, now what's happening? But I liked Red Hood. I liked how bloodthirsty he is.
I know. That was fun.
And then the other thing I want to discuss, and this for me was like the best part of the movie, as far as I'm concerned. Well, no, the best part of the movie was the sky, because it had that really interesting texture. I don't know if you noticed it.
I did.
Oh my god, that was awesome.
Especially that one shot where they do the sun coming up and they do the whole wave of texture shifting over the entire world.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm talking about.
No, I'm just saying that really focused me on how gorgeous everything looked.
Oh yeah, but just the sky itself was just so, I didn't notice it right away. And then when I did notice it, I couldn't stop noticing. I'm like, this is so cool. Anyway.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying that scene is what drew my attention to the sky.
But that's at the end of the movie.
I know. First off, it's not
possibly
at the end of the movie.
Possibly we're talking about two different things here.
It's not at the end of the movie. It's the moment when Batman decides to fall and become a ninja. There's still a whole half hour after that.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Continue.
Joker. Ooh. Oh my god. I thought Joker was amazing in this movie.
He is.
He sells so the movie. And especially at the end. So he's like, ridiculous and crazy and over the top, everything you expect from Joker. But at the end of the movie, when they have their rooftop sword fight, he's kind of a different person.
Yep.
And he's actually, like, Joker's never really he's dangerous, but he's not really menacing.
No.
It's a different kind of crazy than at the end of the movie when he's fighting Batman. It's like, this guy is actually really fucking dangerous.
Yeah, dangerous and terrifying.
And terrifying. And I loved it.
Yes.
He was so good. And just the way they drew him and animated him.
Such a good turn.
Just his expressions and even just some of the lines he said where he like cuts Batman. He's like, oh, you like that, don't you? And it's like, holy shit, dude.
I know.
Oh my God. So good. That was incredible. Yeah. He makes the movie.
No, it really was well done. That Joker was fantastic. The Harley Quinn was so good as an anime Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Like the little, and the thing is, it makes you realize you don't have to go very far to turn Harley Quinn into an anime character.
No, you really don't.
You really don't, but there's enough of a change to her persona to make you really appreciate what they did with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's just enough of it that I'm like, oh, they understood what they were doing. I really respect that. That was so nice. I think everything about that, I really appreciated their take on the Joker. You're right, he's scarier than the Joker normally is, and that whole rooftops fight scene is one of the most beautifully animated fight scenes I've ever seen in a DC animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so intense, and it goes on for a while, but it doesn't feel too long. Like, every hit is earned, and the length is totally earned by the content of the fight scene.
Yeah, as opposed to the Voltron scene that seems to take forever.
Oh my God. Like, we get the joke. This Voltron scene isn't what the movie is about. We get the joke. Let's move this along, okay?
Exactly.
Oh God, yeah, that really dragged.
Yeah.
And then you got black and white Batman, who's made out of bats and monkeys.
That was pretty good. It was so weird.
The payoff,
and like
the payoff
belong,
of that
long, but
that was very cute.
The whole monkey thing. I'm watching like, that's fine. Whatever. It's fine. It's ridiculous, but it's fine. the monkeys form a giant monkey. I'm like, oh, I read this story. This is a Clive Barker story.
Yep.
In the hills, the cities. That's all I can think of because I really like that story.
It's so true.
So I'm watching like this preposterous Batman anime and all I can think about is Clive Barker.
I think they'd be fine with that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, but yeah, I think I can wholeheartedly recommend this one. I'm not going to put it up there with Mask of the Phantasm or Assault on Arkham, but I really did love this. I think it could have been paced better. I think it could have moved along a little more quickly. But I loved the audacity of it. I loved the strangeness of it. And I think anybody should watch this just because you will appreciate how truly weird a movie it is.
Yeah, it's so weird. It is. Like,
it's the weirdest one they've ever made.
Absolutely it is. And I'm glad they made it. And I'm glad that I've seen it. And again, I think it's one of my favorite Joker moments.
Yeah.
In like... Well, I mean, Under the Red Hood, Joker's pretty good in that.
He is. Well, I remember objecting, so I started watching The Batman, right, that anime
series. Oh, yeah.
And I stopped right away.
I think I saw the first season its entirety, maybe?
I watched the first couple of episodes, but right in, like, the first episode, they got the Joker immediately. And, like, the Joker is now a monkey-style kung fu guy.
Because mm-hmm.
they're like, the way to make the Joker an interesting enemy is he's got to be as good at fighting as Batman. And I'm like,
no,
you're not earning that, right? You're not earning that. And that's not what the Joker's about. Here, the Joker is holding his own in a fight with Batman because he has spent, 2 years in feudal Japan getting ready for the moment where he knows he's going to have a sword fight with Batman.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's taken him that long to get ready for this fight, it really helps sell how crazy he is and how much he needs this set piece moment to happen for his own sick reasons.
Right.
It just factors into, like, the fact that he has become a fighter, like, really does factor into the craziness of the Joker. And that's what I loved about it.
Yeah. Cause he's not a fighter. Like he's just
sort of
like
a fighter normally.
Right? Like Joker is just kind of like an agent of chaos.
He's
that's
crazy.
All he really
he's
does.
He's a casual murderer. Yeah.
Yeah, but like that's really it. No.
He's not supposed to be a guy who's as formidable as Batman.
No.
And how funny was Bane's brief cameo?
Yeah, it's like Sumo Bane. Belong here. And then
what are you doing here?
Kicks him out of the movie.
Kicks him out of the movie. Oh, so good.
That was pretty funny.
It was very funny. All right. So yeah, that was Batman Ninja. It's really good.
It's weird. It's a weird movie. I'm gonna, yeah.
It might be too weird to officially call it good, but I did like watching it and I would encourage other people to watch it as well.
Even just for Monkey G.
Even just for Monkey G.
So
strange. Oh, and can I just, one other thing? The scene, there are two scenes in the movie where they use, old-timey technology, where they're like, where, so Batman is driving up to the
car?
Joker's mansion, and so they, he's driving up to Joker's mansion, and they show his progress by unfurling
that
and furling a scroll
hilarious.
At once, and holding a stick with the Batmobile on it to show
hilarious.
How it's driving up the road.
Yes.
And then that comes back at the end, where the Joker's in the control panel of Voltron, and on the giant screen is like a map of the area, and like, shadow play, indicators are coming on it, which
yes.
you have to imagine, like a monkey is, like who's doing that?
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
It doesn't matter
it's
and
genuinely,
it's genuinely
like really great funny moments where they're just, yeah,
well,
they're
and
having
then pay,
fun
and then
with
it does
them.
Pay off at the end of the movie when you see Batman, the Batmobile has been transformed into a Japanese horse and carriage.
Very strange. But at yeah. the end of the movie, so Batman's like, heading off to his gala with the mayor.
Yeah.
And he's going to roll up in this preposterous feudal Japanese car, for lack of a
yeah.
better word, carriage, chariot,
yes.
what have you. But it's plastered in the Batman symbol.
I know.
Like, real discreet there, guy.
Fantastic work, Bruce. Really keeping that secret identity thing under wraps, aren't you? It's a fun movie.
Oh,
all right, let's move on. Do you have any narcissism you would like to watch?
New episode of True North Crime was a little late this week, but it is out there, ready for your enjoyment.
Yay! So be sure to check that out at
wherever you listen to podcasts.
There you go. So just type True North Crime into your podcast search window. There used to be two, but now there's only one again because those other guys sucked.
Yes, they have disappeared. Don't know what yeah. happened to them.
Turns out they weren't good at their job ripping you off.
So there's just us, True North Crime. Yes.
All right. Way to go. Congrats on outlasting those
Thank
turds.
That's not fair.
No, it's not fair. I don't know anything about them. I just know you were there first.
We were.
Yes, for me, Hidden Object Guru, constant flood of new content there, so be sure to check that out. You can see a movie I wrote. It's called The Sweetheart on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Or Our House, another movie I wrote.
Yes.
There's plenty of movies I wrote you can watch.
They're
That's
out there.
That's the point. They're out there. They're not that hard to find. I don't think Our House is... Oh, no. Yeah. You can get that on iTunes. What am I saying?
Yeah.
You
it's
can
not
get that
on Netflix,
iTunes
it's
or rent
iTunes.
On YouTube. It's not on Netflix yet. When it gets to Netflix, you can be sure I'll be telling
it
you.
It is that. Available on demand, let's say.
Boom.
There
yeah.
You
there
go.
You go. All right, so that's that. Is there any other way to get in touch with us?
You can visit the AVODs blog at theavod.com. You can leave us a comment there and tell us about how weird you thought Batman Ninja was. You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
And I encourage you to do all of those things. Until next time, I've been Cam Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.